This is Scott Becker with the Becker Group Business Strategy Women's Leadership Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined in our 15-minute podcast by Melissa Costello. We're going to talk to Melissa about her best advice for women professionals, how she stays motivated, and a couple other topics. Melissa, can you take a moment and just give us a 30-second introduction?
Sure. Thanks for having me, Scott. I'm a filmmaker and I'm a storyteller. I work with for-profit and nonprofit companies to help them find their most compelling story and then tell it with the greatest impact on video.
That's fantastic. I love that. So really working with companies to tell their story and do it by video, fantastic. You've built your own business. You're a founder, you're a CEO. What's your best advice for women professionals?
I was thinking about this on the way to the podcast. Well, and there are no shortcuts. I think that would be my first piece of advice. Advice so often comes from something that you've learned over time that you, I'm guessing, might not have been ready to learn sooner. So in the interest of giving something useful to your audience, my advice would be to give yourself permission to be yourself and start doing it today in small steps. No need for like grand gestures, but be authentic as soon as possible. And authentic, apart from having a mental health benefit, is also irresistible to other people.
So I love that. So the concept is no shortcuts, be yourself, be authentic. And the reality is there's nothing worse than somebody tries to be something different and nothing more enticing or more attractive than somebody that tries to be themselves or just is themselves. Mm-hmm. So I just love that advice. And Melissa, let me ask you this question. You've had this great career. You've got your own business. How do you keep yourself motivated and excited? Is it hard at times? Is it easy? How do you do that?
You know, truthfully, it's not hard. And it's not a challenge for me for two reasons. Number one, most significantly, I adore what I do. I've been doing it a long time in various incarnations, but it is always changing, and that keeps me engaged. And the second thing is I'm just naturally a really hard worker. It kind of comes in my DNA. In fact, if it weren't for deadlines, I'd probably still be working on the first five projects I ever had because what I do is infinitely perfectible. The only thing that is difficult for me is when material starts to get old or it starts to get stale or somebody wants me to do something over and over and over again. That's challenging because it's not stimulating any longer. I'm not problem solving any longer, and that's what I love to do.
Fantastic. So it's sort of you love working by nature, you're hard working by nature, but also trying to keep it interesting and do new things and evolve in different ways. How did you get into the sort of business you're in now, which is using video to tell stories? Because when I was a kid, which is a long time ago, that wasn't even a thing. So how did you sort of get into that sort of part of the business or niche?
Well, my first job in the business was television commercials. And we didn't think of television commercials back then as being storytelling. But they were. They were tiny stories. And I was doing national TV ads. I had a production company in Los Angeles. And then when I got that started to feel kind of soul-sucking, which it did, working for huge corporations, I didn't have a relationship with the ownership. I started working with David Axelrod, and I was his creative partner and director for 11 years, telling the stories of, you know, some of the great Democrats of the day. That was phenomenally interesting, engaging work. And then David went to the White House, and I didn't. And I started this company, which I think is my favorite incarnation yet, because I choose the clients, and they choose me, instead of there being an intermediary. And I can feel that I have a very direct impact on my clients' businesses, and that's really meaningful to me.
What is, though, you talked about in some companies not having a relationship with the owner, so really being a couple steps removed. Now you've obviously got a very intimate relationship with the owner because you're the owner. What's that like today?
Oh, it's thrilling. It's thrilling because I am partnering with them. I'm not some distant, you know, vendor who's, kind of phoning it in. When you have a direct relationship with the ownership, you are directly responsible to help them. I love that. That to me isn't intimidating. It's exciting because I can have a dialogue with them that takes them, you know, in the best direction for their company. My clients always say, what's it going to look like? What's the video going to be like? And I say, I have no idea. We're going to find out on the day of the shoot, because my work is interview driven for the most part.
Isn't that great? So I have a question on an interview driven subject. It's, you have worked closely with David Axelrod, a number of Democratic candidates and campaigns over the years, have a great perspective. If you were interviewing or trying to give advice to President Trump about his on-air persona, his television persona, it's a fascinating thing, because for whatever reason, he resonates really well with 40-45% of the country. There's another 45-50% of the country that absolutely can't stand him. What advice would you have for him? Or would he just not take advice, so it wouldn't be worth giving?
My sense, truthfully, I listen to him as seldom as possible. As soon as I hear his voice, I'm inclined to change the channel. My sense is that he is not interested in direction. He is not interested in outside perspective. So he would not be a good client for me. I really doubt that he'd be interested in working with me either.
Oh, thank you. I think that's at least a clear enough answer. Tell us what you're most proud of from the last couple of years. Are there a couple of accomplishments you could point to, a couple of things that have happened that you'd say you're most proud of, you're most excited about?
I would say that I have what I'm most proud of is, first of all, this incarnation of my professional career. I am really happy that I built it from the ground up, and that I've really made a difference in my clients' businesses and my clients' lives. Also that I have equal part for-profit and nonprofit clients, and that I've managed to work that out. That's really meaningful to me. And I also have clients. I've got a new business model where I can work with a client and almost get a twofer, get a second video for their nonprofit, their favorite nonprofit. It's something I've been working on recently. So I guess those two things.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that great that you're able to do business with them, at the same time fulfill a need and a desire they have and you have to do something for the community as well? Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm. I'm lucky.
Tell us just a couple things about how you built your business. Was it hard to pick up customers? How did you go about picking up customers, clients, et cetera? How did you get started? How did you get going in this new business? Not new business today, but newer business over the last several years.
Yes. It was challenging. I'll tell you why, Scott. It's because for many years, when I had my production company in Los Angeles, I had reps. I had reps all over the country, one in New York, one in San Francisco, one in Chicago. And they would get me work. And then when I worked with David Axelrod would get me work. He would go out and find the candidates, and whenever he worked, I worked. So this time around, I didn't quite know how to go about it, and I tried with reps. That didn't work. And then I didn't have a David Axelrod to fall back on, and I quite serendipitously ran into someone who said, oh my goodness, you were designed to network. I said, I'm sorry, I was what? I didn't know about it. And I was introduced to networking. And the reason that it works for me is that I am relationship driven, and networking is relationship driven. So that's where it started, with a few very foundational relationships that then grew to include more and more people and different kinds of businesses. And it just keeps growing. It's thrilling.
What is, people have different views of asking for business. Some people take the mindset, I don't really directly ask for business, but I let people know that I'm in business, so they know they can get me, they know they can reach me. Other people are very big on the sales tip of, I need to ask the party I'm working with for the business. Any thoughts on that question, Melissa?
I'm not a big asker, Scott. That doesn't make me comfortable. Nor would I, but this is also, I wouldn't want somebody knocking on my door and saying, hey, I'm a cameraman, can I work for you? That wouldn't work for me either. I like finding somebody, hearing about someone, almost finding out about them organically. So what I do with prospective clients is I say, hey, let me take a look at your website. Let me take a look at your videos. I'm a marketing mind. I come from an advertising family. Let me see how I can be helpful to you. And it's sincere. Not everybody right now needs to have one of my videos. Not everybody is in a position to afford one of my videos right at this moment. So over time, if you can build a relationship and develop trust and they see how you think and see how you work and they find it to be a good fit, terrific. I don't lead that, though. I wait for my client to lead that.
Thank you. Who are the biggest customers for your videos? Who's the typical customer?
Right now, I've been working with a lot of law firms. Business law, divorce and family law, you know, like Women's Divorce and Family Law Group is one of my clients. Carlson Dash is one of my clients. Dubofsky, Sherman and Kasheri, Goodman Law Group, Chicago. And then on the nonprofit side, I'm working with National Headache Foundation, Erie Family Health Center. I'm suddenly going blank.
Fascinating. No, that's fascinating. Fascinating. But lots of different parties that are trying to tell their story through video. And so they might appear on their websites, they might appear in commercials, they might appear wherever,
mm-hmm.
But you really help them put that together and make it go. You had mentioned that some people can't afford your work, so I won't ask you the price of it because I know it would scare me, but I congratulate them on what you're doing. It's fantastic. But let me ask you one final question, Melissa. You've given great advice. If this year goes well for you and for your business, what does that look like?
New challenges. I recently did a series of animated videos for a medical device firm. I haven't done animation in a long time, and it was really exciting and very challenging. So I would say constantly, again, this is because I'm a bit of a stimulation junkie and I don't like to do the same thing twice. Again, finding new solutions to problems, finding new ways of helping clients, new ways of communicating a client's story. Social media is actually something I'm getting more involved in. Breaking down my videos into tiny bite-sized chunks that can be used and distributed all across the spectrum. That's really thrilling. That's what I think the year is going to look like.
Fascinating. So one last question. If you do animated video and the whatever character you've picked out for the CEO looks great, is the CEO then happy? And in contrast, if you pick somebody that looks how he doesn't want to look or she doesn't want to look, does that mean the account goes south?
Scott, I would not suggest putting any real live person, you know, representing them as an animated figure. The person that I wrote into the script for the animated series had nothing to do with the ownership of the company. I think that's one of the reasons I'm still in business.
That sounds very, very smart. So my final question is, Melissa, if somebody wants to reach you, how do they reach you?
They can contact me on my website, melissacostello.com, email me at m@melissacostello.com, or call me at 312-305-7500. Thanks for asking.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Melissa, a pleasure talking to you. A total pleasure to visit with. We appreciate your time greatly. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.